So it's actually interesting because when I was writing this, I realized that 2017 marked my 20th anniversary in the music business, which means I've been doing this for pretty much more. I've been doing this for longer than I've pretty much done anything else in my life. And in 1997, I couldn't wait to join the limitless growth of the business. I mean, I read Hitman and Passman, and I was looking forward to riding around in the back of an Escalade and throwing televisions out of windows and running big, complex hustles. And I had no idea that I'd be a matriculating member of the freshman class of the apocalypse. I've always loved the convenience that technology brings to our lives, but to be really honest, I've never really been a technologist. What I really care about is music. I started as an intern and subsequently as an assistant engineer at Unique Studios in New York, notable for, among other things, being the place where Biggie, the indisputable greatest rapper of all time, recorded Juicy. And I'd go home to my East Village fifth floor walk-up and dial into AOL, where I could wait for my email to trickle in through my dial-up connection. So I'm going to refrain from telling the story of what's happened between then and now to the music business. The decimation of my thick mane of hair tells that story all on its own. Suffice it to say that we were caught at the edges of some tectonic trends that were, of course, not just changing the music business, but they were changing the world. As access to higher and higher speed data proliferated, so did piracy, and the competition for consumer attention became all the more fierce. I'm sure there are things that the industry could have done differently, could have done better to adjust to the change more ably, but the industry was no more responsible for the fundamental dynamics that changed the business than we are for the exciting and fragile recovery we're experiencing today. And so it really does feel like we're a boat adrift on an ocean of technological change. In 1998, when Napster launched, we were caught in the break. We were pounded by the waves of innovation that exposed what had become an inflexible business, a finished goods wholesaler, to the merciless ubiquity of supply that the internet brought. And now, although the seas of change have pounded my head as clean and smooth as a pearl, it seems we've moved from being pummeled by the waves of technology to capturing the energy of those waves to catalyze our business and move more and more people with the power of music than we've ever reached before. But before we all go home and claim credit for now in 2017 having saved the music business, I think it's instructive to talk about the forces that drive the tides. There are about 7 billion people in the world, and there are about 8 billion mobile connections. Well, more than a billion of those run across high-speed 4G networks, representing about 5 billion unique mobile subscribers. In 1997, for context, there were about 70 million people with internet access. And in 2001, when the first iPod was released, there were only about 500 million people globally with access to the internet at all. Mobile data traffic continues its growth on an exponential trajectory, having grown 4,000-fold over the last 10 years alone. The access to cheap, fast, ubiquitous data and pristine devices helps drive consumer demand for high-quality music and music services. In addition, driven by these same macro trends, the broad adoption of cloud-based consumer services may have been the most impactful development to drive our industry shift. Today, I start reading the New York Times on a tablet over breakfast and pick up where I left off on my PC in the office. My email and contacts are magically synchronized across multiple operating systems and devices. I can watch The Get Down on Netflix in the comfort of my living room and pick up seamlessly on the plane. And of course, my music service access is ubiquitous. My playlists, my taste profile, my favorite albums, they all move automatically in the ether between my car and my office and my home and my Uber. Seamless integration between platforms and devices and locations has become the baseline of consumer expectation. And the good news is, with the phenomenal proliferation of cheap and abundant data, we somehow managed not to create a world of pirates. Sure, there's piracy. In fact, while piracy has plateaued, it's plateaued at fairly high levels. Stream ripping, file sharing, torrents still represent very real threats. But consumers are choosing at increasing velocity high-quality portable services with the full complement of the world's music. And the price of this ubiquitous access is $9.99. It's easier than moving files around, superior to piracy, and it puts you in the world of limitless discovery. There are always going to be free riders, but it feels as if at last, thanks to significant investment by the music community, the work of some incredible partners, and salubrious macro technological trends, the industry's offerings are now superior to piracy, and consumers are reacting. The decline of the file-based world and the adoption of cloud platforms has been boon to the industry. Get some water. And there's yet another swell driving us further along. The renewed platform war in the living room. Google Home, Amazon Echo, and others are competing for attention in our homes through voice interactivity, taking the very welcome form of a speaker. Speakers and music go together like guns and drugs. And when you think about the convenience afforded to consumers when you combine high-quality services with voice interactivity and an output device, it's yet another swell that'll help connect artists with fans, drive the growth of our business, and help migrate consumers to legal services. Now, while these trends are consistently transformative, they propagate at vastly different rates. This unevenness creates enormous complexity and belies whole new opportunities, or said another way, the world is lumpy. We have markets like the Nordics with more than 20% penetration of paid streaming, growing from the ashes of markets that were ripe for transition, decimated by piracy, home to relatively wealthy populations, and culturally ready to embrace the new model. We have markets on the very early side of the transition, like Japan and Germany, where the shift is more measured, the physical business remains resilient, and consumers have not yet fully grasped the value proposition that streaming offers. And of course, there's the enormous opportunity in markets that sit between the poles, showing the promise of streaming beginning to capture the imagination of consumers, but still leaving some of the world's largest recorded music markets with plenty of room for growth. Setting that aside for a minute, though, I want to reflect on another key stat. Of the 3 billion smartphone subscriptions Ericsson's mobility report predicts will be added to by 2021, 56% of them are going to come from APAC and 24% from MEA. So consumers in these markets will adopt mature digital music services synchronously with the growth of the consumer technology to support them. China, currently the world's 10th largest music market, will be transformed into one of the world's leading music markets driven by innovative platforms like Tencent, Alibaba, NetEase, and Baidu, together with global platforms and strong support from the Chinese government. In the next 10 years, China may very well become the world's largest recorded music market. And with the limited development of domestic repertoire today, that could very well drive a creative movement in the Chinese music business that rivals the 60s and 70s in the West. China's emblematic of a world creating new opportunities through the proliferation of these tectonic technological trends. So, we should breathe deeply the new oxygen in the room and celebrate the course we're set upon, but all of this is not to say that we're assured smooth sailing by any measure. These technological swells have driven growth in an emergent, transformed music business. That being said, the recovery, as we know, is fragile. Two of the industry's top five accounts are operating with negative margins funded by other people's money. A financial shock that would impact investor confidence could easily threaten the turnaround we're beginning to experience, and as such, we need to find ways to ensure that we have a balanced ecosystem of partners, platforms, and pure plays who can drive consumer delight, build intuitive and innovative products, and help ensure that our artist music reaches the right fan at the right time. At Universal, we're very mindful of the digital music ecosystem's fragility, and are working hard to partner with services to align our interests and collaborate on the development of sustainable licensing programs. I'd be remiss, and I wouldn't be a proper record guy, if I didn't talk about how these shifting tides square up in the discussion of free and paid. And just to reiterate our longstanding position, we support both of these models and their appropriate role in the music ecosystem. Of course, the oft-quoted trends are the accelerating shift of ad dollars from physical to digital formats, the decline of terrestrial radio listenership, and the penetration limitations of paid streaming. In 2016, in the U.S., digital ad spend overtook television advertising for the first time, and while digital radio listening is on the rapid rise by any measure, 91% of Americans aged 12 and older still listen to terrestrial radio the week prior to being surveyed. Suffice it to say that, like many things in the digital realm, the change will take longer than anticipated, and the impact will be further reaching than ever imagined. Additionally, availability of free licensed alternatives is quoted as the number one reason people stop pirating music. But fundamentally, if music's to achieve its full growth potential, then it will need to most effectively drive the value that consumers ascribe to music and monetize the consumption of the enormous audience that is today attracted to free services. The truth is, as these swells continue to propagate, we don't know how far paid streaming can go. But we do know that growth will be forestalled if it doesn't provide adequate value beyond that of free alternatives. There is, however, a new tectonic trend taking hold that may foreshadow another encouraging development. While in a nascent market, there's been a strong argument for free-to-consumer services that features, not content, differentiate free from paid. Consumers are Consumers are demonstrating with accelerating force that they're willing to pay for high-quality premium content. Whether it's Netflix's transition to original content or the phenomenal growth of Amazon Prime's video offering, consumers are voting that great content is worth paying for. It would be naive to think that every person on the face of the planet will pay for music or music-based content, but in absence of significant improvement in monetization, we must further bolster premium propositions with the world's most desired content. We at Universal continue to support our partners in the ad-funded content world. It serves as a foil to piracy, a solution for consumers less willing to pay for music, and as a ramp to paid services. But we need to enlist the help of these services in securing our content in their ecosystems so that we can choose how our music is made available to consumers and at what rates. In India, for example, you would have had to have watched user-generated videos for more than a month straight without sleep to earn a dollar for rights holders. That's a lot of squirrels on water skis. Today, the economics simply don't add up, but if we're able to meaningfully differentiate the content proposition between free and paid and help find a way to continue to transition traditional media dollars to digital, we have the opportunity to tap into yet another significant well of growth over the coming years. Technology is the great simplifier. It can take a bespoke task and it can make it highly scalable. There are 20,000 tracks uploaded to streaming services every day and 300 hours of video uploaded to YouTube every minute. The democratization of content creation and distribution is an important, incredible, exciting development in our digital age. Curation by digital services, whether human or algorithmic, may hold the promise to mining the gems from this enormous glut of content and surfacing them to the user. It's a bold promise, and a promise that I worry may be dangerously imperfect. You see, service curation is only the last mile of curation. Identifying and developing talent, investing, driving passion, exposure, and impression around the artist's work globally is a long chain of engagement in curation and development. It's critically important to moving art and culture. I guess what I'm saying is this: I've come to realize that the explosion of streaming has created a new kind of risk. The risk that fundamentally changes the audience's experience of music and threatens to transform an ecstatic event into the same kind of distraction that drives us to fill every spare moment with noise, literally. The same behavior that drives us to fill every blank space with a check of our email, stock prices, sports scores, and headlines. We must be an industry of people dedicated to making great music, not just music that's least likely to be skipped. I really fear that we may draw a false correlation where we rely too heavily on data to tell us what is good art. And the partnership between labels who discover and nurture the music that not only sates us, but surprises us, challenges and delights us, and the services that productize it is delicate and critical. And we need to continue to work together like the two dolphins on my yin yang tattoo. So thinking of our role in the emergent ecosystem, we as labels have an obligation to continually reinvent ourselves. I'm genuinely proud to say that the teams at Universal put enormous energy and intellectual integrity into the needed transformation. Not only do we need to discover, nurture, and invest in talent, but we also need to constantly move ourselves closer to consumers. Shifting technological tides often cause the reimagination of the value chain, and labels need to build, modernize, and reformulate our services to meet the rising waters. It can be easy to rely solely on digital services to aggregate consumers so that we can put our releases in front of them. But we need to energetically create deep, wide, direct engagement between our artists and their audience. We remain at the very, very beginning of this journey with new tools and new challenges. We must continue to innovate our product, engaging the future of current technology and moving beyond to the emergent waves of innovation. The 5 billion mobile users in the world are walking around with interactive computers 120 million times faster than the device that helped guide the Apollo mission to the moon. Video today drives more than 55% of global mobile internet traffic, and so our product must evolve to meet the needs of the next business and the future demands of our consumers. Whether further extending our investment in audiovisual content like Amy and the Beatles 8 days a week, taking leadership role in virtual and augmented reality, driving the proliferation of high-resolution streaming formats. We must expertly pilot the technological swells that will drive the next wave of content innovation, or risk being pummeled by change once again. This isn't just about extending our reach to more consumer platforms. It's about working with our peerless roster of artists, to help extend their creative vision into completely new canvases and realms. I also believe that if we're going to continue to meet the challenges of technological change, we're going to need to develop a deeper culture of trust between artists and labels and publishers and managers and digital services and entrepreneurs. I truly don't think that we're any longer an industry that looks to hold back innovation. In the days when the waves were breaking on our heads, we may have been filled with fear. But I can tell you that for me and my colleagues at Universal, we very much want to lean into the future and enable truly amazing experiences around music. That's not to say, however, that we can or will shirk our responsibility to resist the commoditization of music. We must rapidly defend the value of our artists' creations. But it does very much mean that we need to encourage and elicit a new culture of trust so that we can share the risk and the reward of riding these waves. So, here we are. Salubrious winds in our sails. Enjoy the moment we're experiencing, the same way you would enjoy flat seas and blue skies and the feeling that we're singularly consonant. But know also, without preparation, agility, and intellectual integrity, we will be ill-suited to meet the next wave of change and innovation that will most certainly come. I believe in my heart and in my soul in the work that we do. Music is a healing force in an often fractured world. And as technology brings the world closer together, music is the message of our humanity. So it's no accident that the growth of our business, the proliferation of music, is so tightly tied to the rapid interconnection between every human being on the planet. Thank you.